理课堂听 class.com.
As they stepped into the house, Mr. Poe behind them, the Baudelaire orphans realized what a ridiculous thing Count Olaf had just said. The room in which they found themselves was the dirtiest they had ever seen, and a little bit of mud from outdoors wouldn't have made a bit of difference. Even by the dim light of the one bare light bulb that hung from the ceiling, the three children could see that everything in this room was filthy. From the stuffed head of a lion which was nailed to the wall, to the bowl of apple cores which sat on a small wooden table. Klaus willed himself not to cry as he looked around.
This room looks like it needs a little work, Mr. Poe said,
peering around in the gloom.
I realize that my humble home isn't as fancy as the Baudelaire mansion, Count Olaf said, but perhaps with a bit of your money we could fix it up a little nicer.
Mr. Poe's eyes widened in surprise, and his coughs echoed in the dark room before he spoke.
The Baudelaire fortune, he said sternly, will not be used for such matters. In fact, it will not be used at all until Violet is of age.
Count Olaf turned to Mr. Poe with a glint in his eye, like an angry dog. For a moment Violet thought he was going to strike Mr. Poe across the face, but then he swallowed. The children could see his Adam's apple bob in his skinny throat, and shrugged his patchy shoulders.
All right, then, he said. It's the same to me. Thank you very much, Mr. Poe, for bringing them here. Children, I will now show you to your room.
Goodbye, Violet, Klaus and Sunny, Mr. Poe said, stepping back through the front door.
I hope you will be very happy here. I will continue to see you occasionally, and you can always contact me at the bank if you have any questions.
But we don't even know where the bank is, Klaus said.
I have a map of the city, Count Olaf said. Goodbye, Mr. Poe.
He leaned forward to shut the door, and the Baudelaire orphans were too overcome with despair to get a last glimpse of Mr. Poe. They now wished they could all stay at the Poe household, even though it smelled. Rather than looking at the door, then, the orphans looked down and saw that although Count Olaf was wearing shoes, he wasn't wearing any socks. They could see, in the space of pale skin between his tattered trouser cuff and his black shoe, that Count Olaf had an image of an eye tattooed on his ankle, matching the eye on his front door. They wondered how many other eyes were in Count Olaf's house, and whether, for the rest of their lives, they would always feel as though Count Olaf were watching them, even when he wasn't nearby.